Whenever you study the life of Caleb, you could write the word willingness across his name, because certainly he was a willing servant of the Lord. The Bible actually tells us that he fully followed the Lord, and the word means he kept on following through the ups and the downs. He seemed to have, when you read what he had to say, a great gratitude in his heart for all that the Lord had done for him, and a desire that he would be an instrument all his days in the hand of the Lord. You will remember, as you read the word of God, when they came, the children of Israel came in the wilderness to the edge of the promised land, that Caleb, in the very best way that he knew how, with a heart that was greatly burdened for the people, and also had that desire to follow after the Lord, he spoke to them or presented to them his arguments why they should go into the land of Canaan. No doubt what he said was very logical when you read about it, and even inspiring, you would think. But we know that apathy played a great role there, and the people did not want to go into the land. They were turned back into the wilderness to wander for many years. But during those years, Caleb, that we've read about this morning, he didn't change as far as his commitment to following the Lord was concerned. Many times he was by the side of the leader Moses when Moses was derided and unfairly criticized. And through all of that, he continued to have a love for the people. Moses, of course, eventually died. And God showed how he could use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And he can still do that, something to bear in mind for all of us today. Joshua was a reluctant replacement for Moses, and again at his side was Caleb, full of enthusiasm and zeal to do what he could. Joshua, we have to say, in all of his leading, he was a brilliant military leader, and that was very necessary in the circumstances at that time. But he was also a very sound spiritual leader. Canaan was entered, and Caleb has not forgotten what the Lord said. And these words that we have read as our text this morning really are key as we read from here on about Caleb. The thing that the Lord said. God had spoken, and Caleb had not forgotten what the Lord had said. And we have a man here who is certainly displaying tremendous faith all down through the years, as he took what God said and he laid the word of God up in his heart. He remembered what God had said concerning him. And folks, it's imperative that you and I would do that as well. That we would lay up the scriptures of truth in our heart. As I've often said, we try to instill that truth into young people in the meetings here so that it will help you all through your life. And I trust as we look this morning, just for a while here at Caleb, taking these words as our title, the thing that the Lord said, that everyone will be helped. These words, of course, show us, as I mentioned, that Caleb did not forget when God had spoken. And that being the case, first of all, Caleb was helped to lean. He was helped to lean. He didn't, in crisis or when nothing seems to change, when he felt that it needed to change, he didn't just throw his hands up and give up. But he leaned upon what God had said. In fact, five times in his speech that he makes, he refers to what God had said, to the promise that God had given. He says there in verse 6, and he said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, a man of God. Now, Joshua was a man of God too. But Moses was a special individual for a special job at a special time. And Caleb here is wanting Joshua to recall all of this. You see, if you look there in what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I read just from verse 32, it says, "Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." That was all that the Lord had shown that he would provide. "Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swore to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he has trodden upon." Now, he's speaking here about Hebron, remembering when he was sent out as a spy, where he had been. "The land that I have trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath fully followed the Lord." Caleb had experienced a little of Hebron. He knew about the honey in abundance and the great grapes. And there was nothing all over the years, brethren and sisters, that could obliterate what he had seen from his memory. But there was more than that. It was that area where Abram had pitched his tent there. It was there where God's presence was manifested to Abraham. He was ministered to by the angels. But it was there that Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Rachel, they were all buried there. And now there's very little sign at the moment. There's very little sign that Abraham had ever been there. So very deliberately, Caleb turned his eyes from circumstances, from people, and he fixed them steadfastly upon what God said, the thing that the Lord said, and Hebron. And they never left him. He kept them in his mind. And so it was, folks, year in, year out, for a generation. Now he comes to Joshua here. And he says to him there, if you look at verse 9, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast fully followed the Lord." He remembered it all. You can look there at verse 12 as well. And he says there, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." And I wonder today, are there things that you as a Christian, you want to see conquered for the Lord? Unsaved family, you want to see hearts touched and spoken to, and the world that holds on to some of our loved ones. You want to see that all changed and people soundly converted. You want to see the situation morally in the land changed, and you've been holding on to God for that. You want to see the Lord stepping into the situation. Northern Ireland's in a dark place. There's no question about that. But brethren and sisters, there's still a remnant that are trying to do what Caleb did. And we're trying to hold on to what God says. Also, apostasy deepens. Too close a relationship with false religion is becoming more and more evident every year. But you and I still have the Bible. And we still have the promises of God concerning his church and concerning those who know him. And he's given us those promises that we might hold on to them. And folks, Caleb long ago realized, as we must do, that if God said something and promises something, Then while you and I don't have the authority to tell him when to do it or how to do it or when to, or where to do it, if he promises it, he will do it. It says over there in Numbers, it's chapter 23, I'll just read what it says in verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Did anybody ever tell you to do something then they had no intention of doing it? And you realized they're a man. And it's possible for them to lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And what is promised in the word of God, brethren and sisters, will be fulfilled. I think of Psalm 126, the final verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now there's people, Christians, who've been hanging on to that for decades, and they're still sowing the seed, and still it seems that there's not very many responding. But the promise is there. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Might be rejoicing in heaven by the time it happens, but it'll happen. Think of what we're taught there in the book of Malachi. I want to make it very clear as I read just one verse or two here in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, that the Lord, this verse that I'm going to read refers to tithes and offerings. I want to say, first of all, the Lord doesn't need my tithe. I do have to give it and want to give it, but to his work. But he doesn't need me or my tithe. But he wants me to obey his word in doing what he said in order that he can bless me. That's what Malachi chapter 3 is about. It's not about the Lord saying, here, I really need you to do this or to do that. He's saying to us here, you do this and you're guaranteed blessing. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That was a section in the place of worship where they were stored. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's a promise from the Lord that we will fulfill what he's asked us to do. And then he goes on in verse 11 and verse 12 there to say, I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. There's spreading influence here. There is safety. There is a time of great joy. It says there in verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be in a lightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. United Kingdom, while we love what we are, being British, it's not in a lightsome land at the moment when it comes to glorifying the Lord and to passing laws and to doing that which is pleasing to the Lord. And there's something, folks, that when you think of all the current pushes for certain types of legislation that's against the Bible, please do pray that that will not happen, because there is a really big push on to shut up preachers who may mention things, even in their prayers. People wanting it to become illegal that you can't pray in a certain way regarding people who need to be saved from their sin. And if that becomes law, there'll be all kinds of schemes and plots and plans to hear what you have to say and then come looking for you. So here we see in Malachi 3, the Lord is showing again. He's really showing here, if you honor me, I will honor you. And through all of that generation, when Caleb was waiting, folks, he learned to lean. And one thing that will help you in your walk with the Lord right now, today, we know that the gates or the councils of hell are busy against the church of Christ. Some Christians are almost resigned to defeat. And we don't want to be there. Almost resigned to defeat. Some are very confused. But some are leaning on the word. Some are leaning on the word of God and holding on to the promises of God that he's building his church and that he will continue to build his church. Maybe you're distraught today for one reason or another. Maybe as you look forward, even in the province, and maybe you're concerned about little ones that you're related to or you're friendly with, remember this, remember the word of God and what God has promised, and learn to lean upon God, because I mentioned just at the very beginning here that these words were key. The thing that the Lord said, that was the start of his discussion with Joshua. He didn't say, look at how faithful I've been by your side. Look how many times I fought by your side. Look how many times I have encouraged you. He didn't mention any of that. He says the thing that the Lord said. That's what he held on to. And it helped Caleb to lean. And in your own particular unique circumstances today, I hope the Lord will enable you to lean. There are Christians with illness problems. There are many believers with many other problems. And with some of them, there doesn't seem to be any easy or straightforward solution. And with the Christian church, as we keep on preaching the word of God, the gospel, and we keep presenting men and women, we keep trying to send out missionaries, keep sending out broadcasts and all of that, all we have for it is a word to lean upon, that God's word will not return unto him void. So whatever your particular scenario is today, remember the word. And it's a blessed thing to learn to lean upon the word. Caleb did it for a generation. He remembered it all in great detail, everything that God had said. But not only did remembering what the thing that the Lord said, did it help him to learn to lean, help him to lean, but he was also settled in his own mind that he was never alone. And again, that is something which is priceless for all of us. Caleb was never in any doubt that God's presence would be with him. When he come here to Joshua and he said, give me this mountain, that is Hebron, which he'd been promised so long ago, he says there in towards the end of verse 12, if so be the Lord will be with me. Now, please don't read it and think, well, maybe he's thinking, if the Lord will be with me. The word literally means since. Since the Lord will be with me. He's absolutely convinced that as he goes out, as he sees it, to drive out the giants that have had 45 more years to establish themselves and solidify their position and to set booby traps, if you want to call them that, on the way up to where they are encamped. All of that, he knows about all of that, but he's not afraid. He's not afraid because he knows that the Lord will continually be with him. And while as the years go by, it may seem less likely that it'll happen, and there may not seem to be any really clear way of how he's going to do it, God has promised it. Remember that. And he's leaning upon that. And now he's settled in his mind that he will know the Lord's nearness. From his youth, he was a man who knew the Lord's nearness. And the Lord would have drawn alongside to him. And while others were making things very difficult for Joshua, Caleb was there. He was there with him. And he was there with him because he knew the Lord's presence. And that being the case, he wanted to do that which was right. There is no substitute for a close personal walk with the Lord. We were very encouraged last Sunday night in the things that Chloe said in her testimony, little young Chloe Wilson. I was talking to her dad since that, and he said, well, how'd she get on? I said, well, everything she said was completely relevant. And it was so encouraging as she spoke to talk of that need for not to be able to say merely, I was saved 5 years ago and I'm doing the best I can, but to know in what she said, she had every day looking to the Lord for his nearness and for his guidance and to have that personal, up-to-date walk with the Lord, close fellowship with the Lord. Hebron, that Caleb was asking for, that he'd been promised all them years ago. Hebron, the name Hebron means fellowship. It's not insignificant that that is the case, because Caleb's mind, yes, while it is full of Hebron, Overall, he desires more than anything to continue to be close to the Lord and to know the Lord's closeness. And here he is, a man 45 years later, now he's over 80. He's saying, I was strong, now I'm strong as I was then. I take them on now. Because while in the eyes of some, my body may not be up for it as it would have been, because God said there has to be a way. You can see his faith shining through. There has to be a way. And even though I may be seen by some as a fool or someone who's going to greatly struggle here, the Lord's nearness will make all of the difference for me. He would know the Lord's closeness. He would know the Lord's care. It says there, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the day the Lord spake this word unto Moses. You see, that thing that the Lord said was so important for him. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Those who were disobedient wandered about like headless chickens, and here was him, steadfast as a rock. Because he knew the Lord's word and he hid it in his heart, because he knew the Lord's closeness and consequently knew the Lord's care. Christian, if your company is despised, and I think I'm stating something very fair when I say that sometimes some believers feel very lonely in this life. I hope that no one with us yesterday felt lonely. Every single person there, one of the brethren texted me last night, it was so good to see people there from the more senior folk right to the very tiniest. And everyone welcome. And everyone not feeling lonely, hopefully. But in our life's experience, there are times when you can feel lonely. Maybe it's in employment or somewhere else, or in a family circle, and you can feel lonely there. Remember, settle in your mind, like Caleb did, that you are never alone. You notice here that Caleb never came harping on and stressing Joshua out and over the years and seeking to take control of things in his own way. There was not only, you see, when he settled in his mind that the Lord was with him, there was a closeness, there was the care, but there was a calmness in waiting in God's time. I'm the first to put my hand up and say that's a very hard thing to do. Or it can be a very hard thing to do. And year after year, the wandering around in the wilderness, with the best will in the world, it had to be fatiguing for him. But he continued to be calm. And now he's come before Joshua with his request. And in the atmosphere that people live in today, believers live in today, in a land, that nation that doesn't seem to care much for the Lord, where there is a tightening, there's no question of our liberties, tightening of our liberties, and there will be more too in the days to come if the Lord doesn't intervene. In a day when there's such lack of interest in the word of God, knowing God's presence will make all the difference. Make all the difference to me. Remembering what God said, you know, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. His presence meant so much to Moses years ago. Before Moses said, if thy presence go not with us and carry us not up thence, that's good to say in every crossroads in your life. When you're making a decision, going to do something, please never make a decision in anger or bitterness or resentment and then say, it's the Lord led me. When you come to that crossroads, ask the Lord, just say, Lord, if your presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. In other words, I'll not go that direction. And Caleb had endured all through these years, and now he come before Joshua, and Joshua knew the word. Joshua knew what the Lord had spake concerning him. Joshua knew what would have been in the heart of Caleb. There were men who were very friendly with each other. And yet Caleb waited. I think Caleb exemplified the life of an overcomer. exemplified the life of an overcomer. All the temptations that would have come his way. Patience is a big thing to deal with. 45 years waiting. And he could have started a coup. Or he could have caused all kinds of bother, but now he's coming saying it's the Lord. The thing that the Lord sent. That's what counts. And he was settled in his mind that he would never be alone. I hope you are a Christian. There's many of us here connected with this church would want to be. Certainly, any help that we can to you or encouragement. But all of us, ultimately, every day need the presence of the Lord. Whatever we do. And that can help us greatly whenever there are things that can cause us to be unsettled. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4, in chapter 3, he is in seeking to get them to push on with the Lord. He says, forgetting those, verse 13 of chapter 3 in Philippians, forgetting these things, those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things that are before. This is an expression from the world of sports, which is something that he used often. The word reaching there is to do with straining every muscle. I tried that yesterday in football and didn't get me very far, but anyway. But you know, you get the picture here. Straining every muscle to be at your very best. And that's what he's saying here. Reaching forth under those things which are before. Then he says in verse 17, brethren, be ye followers of me. You do it too. You do too. But he knew that there were just people and they were likely to be greatly concerned about things. So verse 6 of chapter 4. Be careful, or the word means be over anxious for nothing. I can't do that without the Lord's help because I would be anxious. I've already asked you to pray for Nicholas and Alexander traveling home. I tend to worry, most of you know that now, about most things, sometimes far too much. But Paul says here, writing under inspiration, be careful or over anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Is it not true that it's one of the easiest places to let your prayer and supplication and your thanksgiving and your requests be made known unto God? Is in God's house among God's people. And when you're in the company of believers in the meetings. And consequently, it is there that you know this peace that passeth all understanding. That's why we want to avail ourselves of being in the company of believers every time that we can. So we have Caleb here. He was holding on to what the Lord said. It helped him to lean. It helped him to be settled in his own mind that he was never alone. But he also knew and learned that when God moves, no man can halt the Lord's working. I mentioned just a little bit earlier there that all over those years in the desert and no entrance to Hebron, no Hebron still for him, the best of men could begin to doubt. But he didn't. He didn't. He knew that God was unchanging, that the one who had displayed his power in Egypt, remember the plagues there and how the Lord led them out. Remember what the Lord did at the Red Sea and many other occasions. He remembered all of those. So when he looked at Canaan, he just thought, well, it's not too much for God. And somehow or other, God will give me Canaan. He knew that God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And as you and I, brothers and sisters, seek to go on with the Lord and to be involved in his work, doing what we can. Let's believe with all of our hearts, just as Caleb believed with all of his heart, that when he went up to possess Hebron, that the Lord would give it to him. Let's hold on to the fact that as we go forward with the Lord's word, and in the Lord's work, doing what we can, and we believe to be in accordance with the teaching of his word, that he will make away. And men who, we fear the legislation and we fear laws, there's no question about it, because you know that when they're passed, they're pretty powerless to do too much about it. But we also know that God is able to make a way. He's able to make a way. And my concern, as well as yours, is for the younger ones that are coming after, that they will enjoy great civil and religious liberty, and that they will be able to be involved in gospel work as we have been. And for that to happen, we believe that God will need to open up ways, and he need to continue to work. And God's work, when God moves, his working cannot be halted. If you read the story, our time is gone there, of how Caleb was given Hebron by Joshua, and he went up there to drive out the inhabitants, the giants that were in the land. As I said, that 40 odd years to make their homes like fortresses. The Lord drove them out. The Lord drove them out. And what a remarkable way the Lord stepped in for Caleb. And it all came down to this, brethren and sisters. The thing that the Lord said. Let's believe the Bible and pray to the end that God would fulfill his promises to his people.